Savior is Jesus.
So standing before God without Jesus is not a good idea?
I wouldn't try it.
A message from Lifeline Productions. 1-800-523-8669. LifelinePro.com.
You're listening to FirstAmendmentRadio.com worldwide. Freedom is never free. We need your support today at FirstAmendmentRadio.com.
Welcome to another edition of American Exposé. This is Chris Gerner speaking to you on the 20th of January, 2004, and this was Inauguration Day. Must have been a rather lackluster inauguration because I didn't receive much information about it. And certainly it's just another American dictatorial direction in place, and that is a sad commentary to have. I see here in the paper... very interesting. Gold stampedes toward $500 an ounce. The gold market is on fire with no end in sight, currently trading at over $400 an ounce. And this is quite remarkable. It says gold is always better than money in the bank. If you had $50 in the bank and you transferred it into gold at today's prices, you would have an opportunity to gain as much as five times its value. So these thoughts are very important, and that's why Melody Cederstrom is on Monday night on my first hour. And, Melody, you're with me tonight.
Yes, I am.
Okay, because I want to make sure that the listeners realize how important your direction is in supporting my broadcast and the fact that maybe people are shy about precious metals companies because maybe they've had bad experiences in the past. So that's why I brought you up tonight in hopes that people will respond to you. And we're going to get some directions going with commercials. And maybe they just don't know you're around, Melody. You know what I mean?
Well, I hope they do find out. And, gold is very important. And, Chris, I want to thank you, and I appreciate You are allowing me these minutes prior to your program to go over this because it is important. It's important about the information that you get out, and it's also important about the information that I can get out as far as people's finances and how they can protect themselves. And gold will play a very important part in the future as far as those people that can weather through the things that are going to be happening and those that will not be able to because they do not have any gold in their portfolios. It's going to be a very important part of survival.
Yes, and it's very important to keep this in mind. You need to back yourself up with precious metals of some sort. And Melody is in competition with others, and the challenge is who are you going to trust? And that is a challenge out there, as I've had that experience myself in a rather discouraging way. And keep in mind that this broadcast will be on WBCQ in the next hour, so you can tell people that that'll happen too, to spread it out, and we'll be, or I'll be promoting you in the second hour, and then maybe if you're up, you can call back on the second hour.
Okay. Yes, I'd like to do that. And for the listeners out there that do have shortwave radios, you can tune in Monday through Friday at 4 o'clock Eastern on 7.415 with WBCQ. And also a 9.330, and that program is replayed the following hour at 5 Eastern on 17.495, and then again later in the evening at 11 p.m. on 7.415. So there's a lot of opportunity, and then with Chris's program that he puts through here on this on this outlet. So it's very important that people have gold in their portfolio, that you call and ask questions. Anyone can speak to me by calling 1-800-375-4188. And just to let the listeners know that gold is like an insurance policy. And just like you have home insurance, auto insurance, life insurance, gold protects your wealth. It is your wealth insurance. So it's very important to have. You need to have a certain percentage of it in your portfolio. And Chris, you're right. There's so many different dealers out there. There's so many mistruths out there. There's many different products that do different things, that perform differently, and it's truly up to the individual whether they are concerned about confiscation, if they're looking at a short-term investment, if they're looking for a long-term investment. There's different products that fit into the different areas. You can't fit all investors into the same square peg because there's different budgets, different philosophies, and that's why I try to speak with each client and see where they want to go, what direction that they're interested in. I will give my best advice, what I think, and we make the decision together as far as what type of portfolio they need to have. And so many other dealers will try to sell the most expensive item that they have because they need the commission. They'll try to sell the highest commission, or they'll quote really low prices, and then when you get in there, they'll say, well, you know, I don't have it anymore, but I have this product, and now that we have your money, you may as well buy it. And
yeah,
then you end up getting something that you don't need or want.
And the quality may be much less than what you anticipated?
In some respect, yes. I mean, as long as you get a certified, if you're looking numismatic coins, and you get one that is certified by the top three graders, NGC, PCGS, or ICG, you'll be fine. But a lot of dealers out there, the person that sells you the coin, they don't see what is shipped to you. But here at Discount Gold and Silver, I personally look at each coin that is sent out. So if it does not pass my inspection, you're not going to get it. I will send it back to my wholesaler, either get a credit or they will replace it. So, and in order for them to prevent me from sending everything back, they send me a good selection of coins, quality coins. So, 1-800-375-4188.
Yeah, very important to keep this in mind as you are trying to support me and the network and what I'm trying to do. And we can grow. There's no reason why we can't grow if the listeners pay attention to your direction. Without that, we won't grow. So I want to make sure the listeners pay attention to you and your direction and the new website that will be coming up very soon, Discount Gold and Silver Trading, is her company, and it's Melody Cedarstrom listeners at 800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188. And let's see if we can do this in the next hour, hopefully Nicholas will be there to answer your call in the second hour, okay?
All right. I appreciate it, Chris. Thank you very much.
My privilege.
Good night now.
Bye-bye. 800-375-4188, Melody Cedarstrom, 800-375-4188. So the situation is very, very strange, the way things are being implemented and moving along. People are in the dark. I talked to my friend Steve today. He called me finally after all these months of ignoring me. And we're childhood friends. And he's still in the dark about what's going on, although he's very upset and uptight about all the rain in California. And I'm sitting here thinking, well, gee, didn't I expect that to happen when I was in California after all these years of drought? And then all of a sudden you have a torrential rain creating much of a mess and expense of disasters that come about. Well, absolutely, that's what happened. That's what's going on in California right this minute. Getting to the bottom of weather modification, well, I have some information from Tom Bearden. People are suspicious about Tom Bearden. People are suspicious about anyone and everyone, and people should be suspicious about me either as well, because don't trust anyone unless you can trust the information by researching it for yourself. There's no other way around it. And certainly with environmental modification, we know there's a treaty in place, and maybe even several treaties in place regarding environmental modification not being used on each other. And Tom Bearden's done a lot of research. I know people have spoken highly about him, and then others don't. But you can't believe what people are telling you today. You can't believe unless you find out for yourself what's going on with your own research. And those that don't do any research, they deserve what they're going to get, I'm sorry to say. And they aren't paying attention or listening right now either. But this is all being wrapped up into a nice big UN package. You have the World Bank Group, which comprises the International Bank of Reconstruction and Development, the IBRD, and I believe that is the World Bank, the International Development Association, the IDA, the International Finance Corporation, the IFC, the Multilateral Investment Guarantee Agency, the MIGA, and the International Center for Settlement of Investment Disputes, the ICSD. This is the World Bank Group. And they have their disaster response to the tsunami recovery. They have their own logo of the map of that area, that tsunami area, and you see a UN globe in the middle, or off to the side a little bit, off to the left, and so you see how this has major prominence in the UN system. Like I said before, this is what was going to happen as a result of this tsunami, and this is the thing that tells me, yes, it was created. It had to be created because of the perfect opportunity to take the heat off of Kofi Annan and the Oil for Food program and for him to step down. But nobody talking about Kofi Annan stepping down now. No one. And even if he stepped down, someone else is going to take his place. It's still going to be the rotten UN system that wants to take sovereignty away from nations, take revenue away from rich nations, supposedly, quote-unquote, rich nations, and give them to poor nations. They want to push and manipulate. Our State Department does that. But you have in this World Bank group the Interaction American Council for Voluntary International Action. That's the Interaction American Council for Voluntary International Action. Oh, yes, let's volunteer. Earthquake and tsunamis in South Asia. Interaction members respond to those affected in South Asia. And certainly, I'm very upset about what happened to these people. I'm very upset about what happened to the people in Korea and Vietnam. And those people that came to America from Vietnam, they're sorry that they had to come here. They were boat people, listeners. No country would take them in but this country. And so we have all these directions, and Somalis coming in here. We have people from Croatia immigrating in here. The State Department allows it to happen after extensive interview processes, I believe. It says eight South Asian nations and Somalia were severely affected by the 9.0 earthquake and subsequent tsunami that hit the region on December 26th, and they say tidal waves. Subsequent tsunamis, tidal waves. Well, it's about time they use the word that we've been using all these years, tidal waves. The world's most powerful earthquake in 40 years struck deep under the Indian Ocean off the west coast of Sumatra early December 26th, triggering tidal waves up to 20 feet high. More than 155,000 people have lost their lives, and millions have been left without food, shelter, and safe drinking water. Based on assessments, interaction member agencies, the United Nations, and various donor governments are working together with the governments of the affected countries to address the disaster and relief needs. Now, yes, this is very important to understand that they're spending so much time and effort into this, because had no disasters happened, had this disaster not happened, none of the implementation process to bring about the relevance of the United Nations would be going on. It says, while Interaction does not accept donations, the Inter-American members listed here are accepting contributions for assistance they or their affiliates are providing to those affected by the earthquake and tsunamis in South Asia. And there's an entire list of different organizations from different countries. From Bangladesh, you have the Catholic Medical Mission Board, Habitat for Humanity International, INMED, United Methodist Committee on Relief. That's from Bangladesh. That's the first one listed. In Burma, you have the American Jewish World Service in Burma, people. Unitarian Universalist Service Committee, the World Vision from Burma. That's an NGO of the United Nations. India, there's a whole lot of organizations in India. Habitat for Humanity International springs out in front of me. MAP International. American Red Cross International Services from India. So many from India. In Indonesia, many NGO groups. You can send donations to these groups to support this effort. Now, I'm not recommending that you do, because I think this is a setup, and I think many people are anyway. And I recommend you save your money and invest it so you have something to fall back on when something bad happens here. And certainly that's going to happen, too, as I get into Tom Bearden's information. Sri Lanka, much relief groups in Sri Lanka. It goes on down, on down, on down. Let's take it. Other areas of general response, academy. Well, you cannot believe all the agencies that can be contributed to. Anyway, it's on the website, AmericanExpose.com, the World Bank Group, and you learn more about this and learn more about what's being implemented, and then you come to certain conclusions about what could be going on. I have to take a brief moment to take my jacket off. Hold on. Okay, and we talked about last night the fact that the National Football League is is promoting on their commercials during the playoffs, that we should support the World Food Program. And right here in the website, that you can make donations online to the World Food Program. Right here in the World Bank Group website, you can learn about how to do that. And you can do it in various currencies as well. The euro, U.S. dollars, Canadian dollars, pounds, sterling, yen, Australian dollars. And it says, U.S. citizens, click here to make a tax-free donation through Friends of the World Food Program. So it's all very convenient for you to support these directions. Very fascinating information to support this setup situation that you can't prove. Nobody can prove this. Nobody can prove it was set off. That's why environmental modification and weather modification needs to be discussed very prominently among talk show hosts around the world, if there are any in other parts of the world. They say here, dated January 19th, preliminary damage assessment for Indonesia. A preliminary report was estimated the damages and losses in Indonesia as a result of last month's earthquake and tsunami at $4.5 billion. And I said it would be about $3 or $4 billion, I thought I said, when I first came on the air when this happened. But that's only the beginning. It'll be more than that. The estimate is part of a report prepared by the Indonesian government, the World Bank, and other international donors. The report estimates that 66% of the anticipated cost is from damages, while the remaining 34% consists of lost income flow to the country's economy. While the disaster's impact on the national economy is expected to be moderate, the local impact on the economy in southern Sumatra and other affected areas will be huge. And that is truly disheartening and sad. But that's why we need to get to the bottom of what was created and what wasn't created. And that is the important part to realize. And listeners, without your participation in researching and spreading information, and by the way, Darren Weeks, the webmaster, did research into the IMF, and I think I mentioned, but I want to make sure you hear it again, is that every country is a governor of the IMF. Every country that's a member of the IMF has a governor in the IMF. So our U.S. Secretary of the Treasury is no different than any other Secretary of the Treasury of any other country, because he's a governor as well. I hope you understand what I'm saying. Everyone is a governor that is a member of the IMF. Every country has a governor. And that makes sense, I suppose. I don't know how you could possibly get all these governors together to agree on anything. But maybe they don't have to agree on anything. I don't know. I don't know what to say. Dated January 12, 2005, World Bank President James Wolfensohn said Wednesday that reconstruction in the tsunami-hit countries of Asia and Africa must be driven by the local communities affected by the disaster, adding that the progress of rebuilding should be transparent and ensure accountability for the funds pledged. Mr. Wolfensohn returned from a visit to the disaster-affected areas of Indonesia. Certainly, I don't have to go into this too much, but it's all there on the website, World Bank Group. And World Bank President urges tsunami reconstruction to be driven by affected communities. Well, that all sounds very good and dandy, but ultimately the direction in place is totalitarian control and taking over this country and disarming this country so we fall into the global neighborhood, which is a book that was produced in 1995 by the UN system entitled Our Global Neighborhood. It's just remarkable the way things are being maneuvered and manipulated in my thoughts. And that book says a lot. Government of India asks World Bank and Asian Development Bank to assist in reconstruction of tsunami-affected areas. That was dated January 11th. That's right. In the days immediately following the tsunami disaster, the World Bank and the Asian Development Bank had offered their sympathetic concern, an offer of assistance to the government of India in its efforts to deal with the crisis and to rebuild the lives of thousands affected by the disaster. Initial government estimates put the loss of life in excess of 10,000 and the loss of property at about $1.5 billion, and certainly that's increased considerably since January 11th. But you can see how all this is being monitored and controlled. And that is the situation in place. Very interesting. Condoleezza Rice, another yes person for the New World Order, is going to be confirmed, and she was confirmed at 16-2. Amazing. Barbara Boxer objected to Condoleezza Rice. Amazing. Barbara Boxer, quite interesting. Here we see, dated January 10th, 2005, entitled Development in an Insecure World. Oh boy, doesn't this tell you a lot? The world has responded to the tsunami with unparalleled generosity. The driving force behind the free-flowing aid has been the global media attention, and there's no denying that. But people living in the world's most fragile countries, many suffering as a result of civil wars, can't count on that level of global awareness of their plight as people open their hearts to this natural disaster. And was it natural, I interject? The world is being asked not to forget the no less destructive man-made disasters that affect or afflict fragile states across the globe. And who's behind all that, we ask? This inability of the world to focus on these fragile states perpetuates poverty and risks the creation of new security threats, according to Paul Collier, professor of economics and director of the Center for Study of African Economics at Oxford University. Another global think tank. Collier says fragile states, those with weak institutions, either unable or unwilling to provide basic social services for their poor, provide fertile ground for many emerging global and security threats. Well, isn't it amazing how all this attention has been generated now instead of way back when? But isn't the manipulation of the poverty from the past to the present? Isn't that a purpose for the UN system to exist? To the point where people say, well, we could never get out of the UN. Look how much good they do. And that's why I keep coming back to Vietnam and Korea. Because everyone's conveniently forgot Vietnam and Korea. Everyone's conveniently forgot the Congressional Medal of Honor and what that is. Many people have never even seen the Congressional Medal of Honor. I had not seen the Congressional Medal of Honor until about 5 or 6 years ago. So there's so much that we're not learning about, so much is being driven at us and on us, that it's most important to be concerned and to connect the dots on a constant basis. Dated January 20th, the U.S. military, the largest group aiding tsunami survivors, said Thursday it will immediately begin scaling back its relief operations. A barrage of gunfire sent survivors diving for cover at a refugee camp in an Indonesian region long torn by a war between separatists and the government. In Japan, nations at a UN conference rallied behind plans for a network of buoys to warn of future killer waves in the Indian Ocean. Oh, amazing. Admiral Thomas Fargo, Commander-in-Chief of the U.S. Pacific Command, said the U.S. military, quote, will start right now transferring functions to the appropriate host nations and international organizations. And isn't that, and that's an end quote, and isn't that the way it was set up to begin with, probably more than likely? I'll be back. Much to do tonight.
what in the world is going on? Stay tuned to FirstAmendmentRadio.com to find out first, and on satellite at Galaxy 13, Channel 16, Audio 7.70.
Who performed the first organ transplant? Find out on today's Creation Moment. And now, here's our Creation Moments host, Ian Taylor.
Of all the creatures that walk, crawl, creep, or grow on Earth, which one invented the organ transplant? I'll give you one hint. It wasn't a human being. Actually, several creatures perform organ transplants, and the inventor must be God, because mindless natural forces could never have worked out the amazing transplants we see in our world. Sea slugs feed mainly on sea anemones. Sea anemones have stinging cells, which, upon the slightest touch, explode, sending a poisonous dart into the intruder. None of this seems to faze the sea slug, who will tear up the anemone and eat it without exploding even one of the stinging cells. The stinging cells do not even explode in the slug's stomach, nor, amazingly, are they digested. The sea slug's stomach has narrow channels. These channels have moving hairs, which sweep the stinging cells out of the stomach, up the channels, and to the pouches, where they are arranged and stored so that the sea slug can use them for his own defense. Should a fish try to nip the sea slug, he would be stung by the very stinging cells which had once protected the anemone. Science tells us that things must have causes. It is hardly scientific to credit an organ transplant, which is more complex and elegant than anything we could devise, to blind natural principles. The Bible has a better and more logical answer.
To get a complete set of transcripts from Creation Moments programs, ask about the book Letting God Create Your Day when you visit us online at creationmoments.com. Join us again for another Creation Moment, proclaiming evidence of God's truth.
If you can hear my voice, you are listening to the Worldwide First Amendment Radio Network. If you would like to continue hearing these programs, there are several ways that you can help. One, you can make a donation or subscribe to your favorite program by going to FirstAmendmentRadio.com on the Internet and follow the instructions there. Two, you can sponsor your favorite program with your business advertising dollars or spend your dollars with those businesses that advertise on your favorite programs. Three, simply call in on live programs and tell them that you are listening on FirstAmendmentRadio.com. Now anyone can do that one. You can find the call-in numbers on our schedule pages at FirstAmendmentRadio.com. And finally, you can call 559-733-5002 and leave your name and address, and we will send you a support pack. Thank you for listening.
Continue with these directions, and Dennis the Menace on top of information again tonight. Back to this U.S. to scale back tsunami relief efforts. About 15,000 American troops have been deployed to tsunami-hit nations where huge waves spawned by a massive earthquake swept away coastal settlements on December 26th. And most of the soldiers have been sent to worst-hit Sumatra Islands in Indonesia. what is the result of what's going to happen in these islands in Indonesia? Will they be declared World Heritage Sites and nobody will be able to live there again? Those directions and thoughts are down the road. And the resulting end of it will be very hard to get to the bottom of without more participation of people in the right place to understanding what's going on. And certainly, this is receiving a lot of press, worldwide press, and lots of people out there are innocently giving their funds to this effort, as at this point in time, I don't see that it's necessary at all. But how can I make a statement like that when I'm so limited with my knowledge about what's going on, but yet we know that things are created for a purpose. The Hegelian dialectic operates to make maneuvers, to make us react, to make us accept what we normally wouldn't accept in the first place. From Newport Beach, California, dated today, the 20th, the inauguration day, oh boy. Hundreds of giant squid are washing up on Orange County beaches, creating a scene more akin to 20,000 Leagues Under the Sea than the O.C. The bug-eyed sea creatures believed to be Humboldt squid normally reside in deep water and only come to the surface at night. Why approximately 500 of them began washing up on the sands of Laguna Beach and Newport Beach on Tuesday isn't clear. Interesting to think. What's going on in the oceans? What's being engineered down there? What kind of electromagnetic weaponry is being engineered, or what? Who knows what's going on to make this happen, but they don't do it for unless there's a reason. Authorities said the squid, the biggest weighing 17 pounds, might have been pursuing bait fish and gotten too close to shore, or the tides might simply have carried them in. That's pretty lackluster of an answer. Quote, I haven't heard of this happening before, but it's not a common occurrence. End quote, lifeguard Eric Bauer of the Newport Beach Fire Department said. Authorities plan to remove the squid in the next couple of days, and will give it at least a couple of Santa Barbara Museum, or give a couple to the Santa Barbara Museum of Natural History for research. And let's give some of those to the Japanese restaurants, the hundreds of Japanese restaurants down there that serve squid as their menu, as sushi. One thing for sure, there's not much sushi in Oklahoma, I can tell you that. Authorities plan to remove the squid in the next couple of days, yes. In the meantime, beachgoers were advised not to eat or even touch them. Whoa. Quote, they probably have bacteria on them at this point, end quote, Bauer said. Well, I hope I didn't give Tokyo Kaikan a thought to go get those squids. Just amazing. Don't eat the squid, huh? Okay. Squid is very tough, as I remember, to chew on. And how remarkable is that? Absolutely incredible. What's going on? What's being engineered at this point in time? From Environment News Service out of New York, dated the 19th, United Nations General Assembly held a plenary session in New York Tuesday on the extent of the Indian Ocean tsunami, while assessment teams in the field painted a truly staggering picture of enormous devastation and the enormous extent of human suffering in Sumatra, Indonesia, the area closest in the epicenter of the massive earthquake that triggered the destructive tidal wave. They're using the word tidal wave now. Maybe they're listening to what I'm doing. Also from ENS, dated the 19th, Environment News Service, the rich nations of the world have the means and the money, but not the will, to dramatically improve the lives of the world's poor and heal the environment, according to a major new report from the United Nations. The report from the UN Millennium Project urges the developed nations to double their aid to impoverished countries if they intend to fulfill a pledge to cut global poverty in half by 2015, and I extended a whole lot of time last night to this very, very direction. The implementation of the Hegelian dialectic. And here we see from Environment News Service out of Nevada. When the wild horses and burros are confronted with a severe winter, such as the West is now experiencing, with over 20 feet of snow deposited during the past month in the High Sierra, they have many ingenious ways of riding out the storm, evidently. All this is accessible in Environment News Service. I can't get to these articles because I haven't subscribed to them. But you can. You certainly can. And I suppose it's a good idea to do so. Here we see from Our Planet. According to a new report by a trio of environmental groups, expanding urban sprawl is putting a third of America's endangered species at risk of extinction within the next two decades as a result of habitat loss, they say. Habitat loss, is that a fact? What about the aerial spraying? What's going on there? How has this been generated to engineer these situations? And that should be everyone's concern at this point in time. From the paper today, Cuba accuses U.S. of abusing prisoners. Cuba accused the United States on Wednesday of lying to the world about its treatment of prisoners at the U.S. naval base at Guantanamo Bay, saying torture and cruelty are a daily occurrence at the prison camp for terror suspects. Cuba has been a brutal country with torture for years. Why do you think people have been escaping or leaving Cuba to come to America? You don't see anybody escaping this country to go to another country, do you? They're free to leave and go whenever and wherever they want. So this is an outright lie, and this is the situation in place. So back to this, sprawl pushes wildlife to the brink, according to a new report by a trio of environmental groups. And obviously I've covered this. Expanding urban sprawl is putting a third of America's endangered species at the risk of extinction within the next two decades as a result of habitat loss. The report entitled Endangered by Sprawl, How Runaway Development Threatens America's Wildlife, was produced by the National Wildlife Federation, Smart Growth America, and Nature Serve. The report details how the rapid conversion of once natural areas and farmland into subdivisions, shopping centers, roads, and parking lots is jeopardizing the future of more than 500 wildlife species teetering on the brink of extinction. Beyond publicizing the threat, the report recommends altering local land use patterns and improving state and federal natural resource and transportation policies as potential remedies. Keep in mind, this is all part of Agenda 21. All that's listed here, all that's engineered, is part of this 40 chapters of totalitarian control called Agenda 21, which I've been talking about for quite a long time now, very specifically, very exclusively. And it's just got to be done. It's got to be covered. It's got to be talked about. The mess continues at this point. And the people lacking their attention to this. And as I go through these various articles and the information that's been sent to me, I probably ought to jump on Tom Bearden's information. Because it's very interesting, and it's quite lengthy. And he's talking about a letter that was, it's actually a response to a letter. And keep in mind this individual that sent this about Tom Bearden. He says something from Tom Bearden. But no mention of the activity of the Jews. Something is missing, he says. My point about this is that when you say Jews and you blame the Jews, and I've said this over and over again, and it stands true to this very moment. 99% of the Jews have no clue about what you're talking about when you blame the Jews. They are perplexed. They are angered. They are upset, and they become uptight because they're being blamed. Somebody's blaming them for what's going on, but they're Jewish, and they don't have a clue about what's going on any more than the next man. And that's the point. If you want to gain numbers, you don't blame the Jews, because 99% of the Jews are innocent. They're just as innocent as the next guy, the next duped Catholic, the next duped Protestant, the next duped Muslim. State Department report on anti-Semitism, that's documentation, people. And that connects a serious dot to what's going on and who's behind what. But you just can't go out and blame Jews without, every time you say the word Jews, you have to quantify it or qualify it. Zionism, Talmudism, Talmudist. You go so far off base in so many different directions, and you confuse everyone. And that's certainly my feeling, because if we don't increase our numbers, if we don't connect the proper dots to what's going on with documentation, we will never increase our numbers. And that's the only hope we have, is increased numbers of people to understand what's going on, to put pressure on our elected representatives to do something about it, to the appointed representatives or the appointees. They aren't even representatives. They're appointees in government agencies. So it's very important to keep this in mind. Before I go any further, apparently, I don't know whether I can get into this too far, but apparently, Governor Bush, or the Bush government, has appointed two ex-KGB thugs to develop internal passports for American citizens. That can be found on educateyourself.org, educate-yourself.org. Back to this information from Tom Bearden, dated January 3rd of 2005. And this is in response to a question from a man named Jack. And the subject, Tsunami man eventuated. Tsunami man eventuated with a question mark. Yes, the induction of those tsunamis was very probably accomplished by the Yakuza with their scalar interferometry or longitudinal EM wave interferometers. They have been engineering our weather, etc., over North America intensively since early 1990, having leased huge scalar interferometers from the Russians on site in Russia at the end of 1989. The down payment was $900 million in gold bullion, and the lease was apparently on the order of $1 billion per year. Their weather, quake, and climate engineering operations since then have been directly under supervision and coordination of the FSB/KGB. And I believe FSB is the Federal Security Bureau of Russia, which used to be the KGB of the Soviet Union. Specifically, the old diehard communist faction, which is the real power in Russia. That faction always kept the Russian super weapons under their own control and operation. Those weapons were never passed into the hands of the regular Russian armed forces, but remained in the hands of the diehard KGB communists who still intend to destroy us. Note that Putin comes from the younger faction of the KGB. That faction would like to reach an accommodation with the U.S., become our trusted cheap oil supplier, and pump lots of Western money into the hurting economy of Russia. And keep in mind, I have not pre-read this, and I don't know exactly where he's coming from with a lot of this, and I certainly am set on my opinions, and they may not agree with my opinions, but let me continue. The old diehard communist faction will not permit that and has, in fact, forced Putin now to seize the oil under state control or contrived control, make a deal with China with respect to Russian oil, and also to resume much more authority over the Russian people in preparation for this phase of war now entered. In 1997, Secretary of Defense Cohen, who was well briefed on these longitudinal EM wave weapons, made this statement publicly, quote, "Others are engaging even in an echo type of terrorism, whereby they can alter the climate, set off earthquakes, volcanoes, remotely through the use of electromagnetic waves. So there are plenty of ingenious minds out there that are at work finding ways in which they can wreak terror upon other nations. It's real, and that's the reason why we have to intensify our efforts, and that's why this is so important," end quote. Secretary of Defense William Cohen had an April 1997 counterterrorism conference sponsored by former Senator Sam Nunn. Quoted from DOD News Briefing, Secretary of Defense William Cohen. There was a question and answer period at the Conference on Terrorism, Weapons of Mass Destruction, and U.S. Strategy from the University of Georgia, Athens, April 28, 1997. So, yes, according to Tom Bearden, the Yakuza Aum Shinkai-o teams were the terrorists that Cohen was referring to, and the strategic large-scalar interferometers in operation in Russia since 1963 were the electromagnetic weapon he was referring to. After Cohen left office, the entourage, or third-level managers who did the actual implementation for all large and powerful organizations, with 9% of that third-level entourage being absolutely without morals or scruples, power-mad and greedy, etc., appear to have once again hidden the overt knowledge of such weapons, although 10 nations of the world now have them. At any rate, our leaders once again do not seem to be adequately briefed on asymmetric war and on the Russian energetic superweapons. Once the superweapons, quantum potential weapons, negative energy EMP weapons, scalar interferometers, bioenergetic weapons, and psychoenergetic weapons are accounted, and some have passed in the hands of the terrorists, such as the Yakuza, then our conventional theory of asymmetric war suddenly becomes the theory of asymmetric strategic super war. Since the terrorists now can achieve a one-shot knockout capability against the U.S. In asymmetric war, there are two main phases. One, a decades-long insertion phase, when weapons and teams are steadily inserted into the targeted population and nation during peacetime, and that's a quote-unquote peacetime, and in the absence of overt hostile operations other than incidents. And two, once sufficient insertion in peacetime is completed, the operations phase begins by simply starting to unleash those weapons against the populace, infrastructure, etc., and effectively destroying them in short order. Years ago, the old Soviet Union inserted nuclear weapons into all our major cities and population centers, along with Spetsnaz teams to detonate them. They are still here. The Soviets would have destroyed us with those weapons in the latter 1970s, except that Israel also inserted nuclear weapons, including actual thermonuclear weapons, inside Russian cities and main target areas as well. Interesting. Since the Russians are rational and are chess players, they will not knowingly commit suicide, as do the suicide bombers. This, quote, mutual assured destruction, end quote, could and did cause a Mexican standoff between the Soviet Union and the West. Of course, the MAD doctrine will not mark against the militant fundamentalist Muslims, who will indeed not hesitate to commit suicide if by doing so they can destroy the West or the U.S. the years. This ought to be interesting. Over the years, anyone who wished to have some of the highest grade anthrax ever produced by the Russians could easily get it from Voz, V-O-Z, Island, where the Russians dumped hundreds of tons of such agents, nuclear materials, etc., along with many other things, and those who wanted such things for asymmetric warfare did go and get them there. High-grade anthrax, smallpox, modified Soviet version, so present vaccines are ineffective. Are all in there, already inserted in the U.S. and being held waiting. Among the 15 million or so illegal aliens that come into the U.S. across our borders over the years were some 10,000 specially trained guerrillas of Fidel Castro. He was training them in special training camps set up and operated in southern Mexico, then infiltrating the input across the U.S. border. One estimates that half may have defected for the good American life, but some 5,000 hardcore Castro terrorists are still in here and just waiting for the order to move in acts of sabotage against crucial elements of our infrastructure. And why would these idiots want to do this? Why would these stupid idiots that are set up to do these things, why would they do it? That's the crazy part about it all. I'm talking about these Aslan members, too. They want to reconquest the Southwest. When the people of Mexico live in abject poverty, is it going to be any different when Mexico retains or regains the Southwest of this country? It'll be in abject poverty, too. That's the insanity of all this situation. When communism comes into full control, everyone loses because you lose all your free enterprise directions in place. You lose the ability to power your house. You lose the ability to power your car. You lose the ability to keep yourself warm and keep yourself cool in the summertime. When the old Soviet Union's economy collapsed, eventually the Soviet empire fell apart. For years, the Soviet remnants could not pay their generals and soldiers. Faced with starvation of themselves and their families, the military simply took whatever was in their possession that was of value and marketable and sold it on the black market, including nuclear weapons and even, in one case that Lunev mentions in his book, a Russian nuclear submarine complete with an admiral and crew to run it. Fortunately, he was intercepted and imprisoned before he could insert that nuclear submarine into the world dope trade. I don't know what to believe about this at this point, but keep in mind, as I said before, this is Tom Bearden's information, and I thought you should hear it, because anything that connects a dot to environmental modification, creation of earthquakes, weather modification, we want to hear it, because we're not hearing it from the major press, because we're in a set-up situation in life today, and that's the crux of the picture. Hopefully we'll have Melody Cedarstrom back. We'll be up on WBCQ 7.415 in the next hour on First Amendment Radio, and I'll be back very shortly. Thank you.